not at all how we thought 2020 was going to go, but we're thankful that God's hand has been continually leading and guiding this church. Today is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen?
Amen.
Let's do that again. You did great, but I'm going to do it again anyway. Today is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, good morning to you. My name is Ryan Kimmel, and apparently I'm your new lead pastor. Thank you. I want to say good morning to those here in the worship center. I also want to say good morning to those who are joining us downstairs in our venue and those who are gathering in our gym. Also want to take a moment and say hello to those who are joining us online. We know our online audience is quite sizable. There's hundreds of you joining us right now. So we just want to ask, if you are watching us on the live stream, would you just take a moment and just comment in the section? Let us know who is watching with you. It's one of the ways that it's one of the ways that helps us to feel connected to you. And so, Peace Church, it's hard not to acknowledge that today does mark the start of a new season here at Peace Church. And as we closed out a season last week, we will always be thankful and grateful for what God has done during that season. We'll always learn from it and cherish it. But today is day one on a new future. Our 50-year history here at Peace Church continues today. We're going to press on and continue. Today we stand with the future before us. Today we stand with a calling that God has placed on this church, and I think on each and every single one of you. My question for you is, how are you going to respond? Last Sunday was a day to stop and reflect and celebrate. But today is a day to press on, because the mission continues. So I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 8 to 14. If you picked up one of our Bibles as you walked in, that's on page 1249. Otherwise, go ahead and turn there in your own Bible. Otherwise, you're welcome to listen to me and follow along as it will be on the screen. This is a letter that Paul the Apostle wrote to the church in Philippi. And the words that he wrote to them, I'll be honest, I feel are a very timely message, not just for us here, but for Peace Church specifically today. And so would you follow along as I read Philippians chapter 3? We're going to read verses 8 to 14. Paul writes this. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and to be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. This is God's word, everyone. Let's pray and let's get started. Father, we do thank you for this day. Lord, and I personally, Lord, thank you from the bottom of my heart that I get to serve as the next lead pastor here at Peace Church. I thank you for my brother pastors who I get to lead along with. I thank you for my brothers and sisters of Peace Church that I get to serve along with. And we thank you most of all, Lord, for you, for being who you are, our great God that we get to worship. Thank you for this moment in history that we get to live into, that we get to speak into. Thank you for the testimony that this church is writing, and I pray that it's one that is always marked and will continue to be marked by truth in love as we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we do stop and we say thank you. We say thank you for those who continue to serve us in the midst of this pandemic. We thank you for the doctors and the nurses and the medical workers who are stressed and overworked. I pray that each and every single one of them would feel our gratitude. But even more than that, Father, I pray that they would come to know the peace that Jesus offers. And we pray these things for the glory of the Father, in the name of the Son, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. And everyone said, amen. 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 So if 2020 has taught us anything, it's that if we wait till everything is perfect before we do anything, that's an indefinite wait. If we wait for things to be perfect, we're not going to do anything. See, I'm a person, I would rather move forward knowing it won't be perfect than to sit back waiting for a perfection that we don't know will ever come. Like even today, ideally, everyone who's online would be in person, and our entire elder board would be up here as we celebrate the installation of our pastors and the step of a new day. We could wait for that, but we decided that we're going to press on. Even the pulpit that we normally use is getting an upgrade right now. I wish it was ready for today. Not going to wait for it. We're going to continue to move on. So as we look at our passage and we look at the era that we are now entering, and as we look at what I think God is calling us to do, as we look at our passage, here is the charge that I have for us, that I have for you and us as Peace Church. Pray and press on, because the mission continues. The English during World War II, during a world war, had a phrase. Many of you know it. Keep calm and carry on. In the midst when they could be bombed by the Nazis, keep calm and carry on. For us, in the midst of a global pandemic, I think the charge for us today is this, Peace Church, pray and press on. Pray and press on. We're going to seek the Lord in prayer, and we're going to follow his leading. So as we walk through our passage, there's a few things that I want you to note as we pray and press on. First one is this, is that we pray and we press on because there is nothing better than Jesus. There is nothing better than Jesus. Did you hear how Paul starts this passage? I mean, who speaks like this? Look at this. Indeed, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. I mean, I want to have a faith like that. Who speaks like that? Who has a faith like that? Who has a drive like that? That is the type of faith that God wants to produce in all of us. That's the sort of faith that the world needs to see in Christians. That no matter what we have, it's trash compared to Christ. I don't care how beautiful of a house you have. It's trash compared to Christ. Paul says, I've given up everything, and whatever little I have left, he calls it rubbish. It's dog waste, actually, in the original Greek. Paul saw that Jesus, there was just no comparison to him. He just said in his heart, just give me Christ. You can have everything else. Just give me Jesus. You know, as a preacher, there are certain points that if you ask any preachers, the guys here too, no exception, there's points that we preach time and time again, but honestly, it doesn't feel like it just gets through. Because we'll have these interpersonal conversations in our office with people who just fail to grasp this. It's a concept of what we call grace. It's like this. Like, this is the point that we try so hard to get across, but we just feel like it just has a hard time penetrating the heart. You cannot earn your way to heaven. No matter how many good deeds you do on this side of eternity, it will never outweigh your sinful heart. God is always justified in sending everyone to hell because no matter how great of a life you live, it will never outweigh your sinful heart. We get to heaven on account of what Christ has done, not what we have done. And that's called grace. We do not get to heaven by behaving on earth. That's how wonderful Jesus is, that he does this for us, so that no matter what you face for the sake of Christ, you can rest assured that it is worth it because he is worth more. I want to take this wonderful verse here, verse 9, that Paul writes, and I just want to maybe reword it to more what I would call like West Michigan English. I know when you read it, it kind of can seem like really high, lofty religious language for only for super Christians to. But I just want to like maybe just speak as a Middleville native here, and Here's what I think Paul is saying if he was a Middleville man. He said, I'm not a good person on the inside because I obey the Old Testament laws. But I have a goodness on the inside that was given to me by God through my faith in Jesus. A goodness that depends on my faith, not my behavior. Because it all goes back to Him. It all goes back to Jesus. That is the power of faith. That God will give us the righteousness, the goodness on the inside. He will give us the righteousness of His Son, which we have not and cannot earn. But Jesus has. He will give that to us through our faith in Jesus. That no matter what we try to do, God will always see that sin outweighs the goodness in our life. And so that's why when we place our faith in Jesus, God has to give the righteousness of His Son to us. So that when God looks at us, He does not see our sin. He sees the righteousness of Jesus that He Himself has put there. This is something that we all need to hear. We preach this point, and we ask the Holy Spirit to bring that into your heart. Because we need to hear this. One of the trendier things I've seen online is people will take this phrase, I don't know who needs to hear this, but, and then they'll fill in whatever they think the world needs to hear, whether that's a jab or prophecy or whatever. And so I just thought, you know, let's see what my Facebook friends have to say. So I put on my Facebook, I said, hey, would you fill in the rest of this phrase? I don't know who needs to hear this, but that I had over 100 people give me feedback on this. And so I thought I would just share a select amount with you. If you want to see them, they're really funny, go to my Facebook page. But I just share with you a few of them. So I don't know who needs to hear this, but you're going to Meijer, not Myers. Sorry, Holly. I'll do better next time. I don't know who needs to hear this, but God meets you where you are, and He is good all the time. I don't know who needs to hear this, but somebody needs to hear this. Thanks, Bree. Brooke Van Laan from our church says, I don't know who needs to hear this, but that disagreement you had in the car before with your wife. I gotta get this right. I don't know who needs to hear this, but that disagreement you had in the car before church, your wife is right. Guys, that's good advice, okay? Darlene DeGroot from our church says, I don't know who needs to hear this, but the Lord is coming back in all His glory, and you better be ready to meet Him. Come, Lord Jesus, come. I'm not a prophet. I'm not going to tell you a date and time. I'm just going to say soon. The time is growing short. In the new year in 2021, we're going to have a whole sermon series looking at what we're going to be calling the sign of the times as we look at the end times. And how that Jesus doesn't give us a day, but He does give us indication about when it's going to be happening. And I think a lot of those boxes are being checked right now. So I don't know who needs to hear this, but cancel that free trial. That's good. That saved me. I took that advice. Thanks, Andrew. I don't know who needs to hear this, but trust in God, not your feelings. Preach, Jenna. I don't know who needs to hear this, but you don't need anything from Amazon today. Paige is one of our sisters here at Peace Church. Sonia says, I don't know who needs to hear this, but it doesn't really matter if your clothes don't match right now. That's 2020, right? I don't know who needs to hear this, but I'm listening. Diana, faithful woman from our church, in a world where everyone wants to say something, I'm thankful there are people who would rather just listen right now. Stephanie Boomsma says, I don't know who needs to hear this, but you are not enough, but thankfully Jesus is. See, Stephanie is actually one of our custodians here, bringing out some Reformed theology, but I want you to hear something. This is not meant to bring you down. This is meant to ease your burden. You can't save your family. This has to be Jesus. You can't save your kids. It's Jesus who does it. You're not enough, but he is. So let's all turn to him. See, I don't know who needs to hear what, but I think we all need to hear that there is nothing better than Jesus. If you hear me today, I want you to hear this. There is nothing better than Jesus. To know him and to be known by him, or as Paul writes it, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. The fact that he gives us life now, that even though we die, yet we will still live. For those who call themselves Christians, how has faith given you a newness of life here and now? A life that will last eternal. How has Christ changed your perspective now? That you may know him in the power of his resurrection. See, I think for a lot of Christians, our faith is like a scratch-off lotto ticket. We won $1 million, but we never turned it in. It's kind of like this. I heard you had a scratch-off ticket and you won $1 million. Sure did. Right here. Wow, that's amazing. What are you going to do with it? I'm going to keep it in my pocket. You're just going to keep it in your pocket? Yeah, you know, it's a personal thing, just between me and the lotto. I don't think you understand how the lotto works. Don't we do the exact same thing with our faith? You believe in Jesus Christ? Yep, sure do. Got faith right here in my heart. Wow, so how has that impacted your life? How has that changed things for you? Well, just something I keep personally right here in my faith. Just, you know, just between me and God. Hasn't changed anything for you. That's personal. I don't think you understand how faith works. I think a lot of you right now, you have a faith in Jesus that is a $1 million scratch-off ticket that you have not yet turned in. You haven't experienced what God has to offer when you come to know him and experience him. A newness of your faith in life. It's no wonder that Paul says, indeed, I count everything as loss as long as you give me Jesus. Paul knew that coming to know Christ is better than winning the lotto. See, the lotto will give you stuff. It will give you money so you can buy stuff, but it will give you no purpose and you will still die. But faith in Jesus gives us life and a purpose. And even though we may die, yet we will still live. Paul knew what we all should know, that there is nothing that compares to Christ, that we may know him in the power of his resurrection. And so we press on because there is nothing better than Jesus. And we press on because we are called forward by God. We are called forward by God. Listen to these two verses. Not that I have already obtained this or I am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I don't know who needs to hear this, but today is a new day. It's a new day for our church, and today's a new day for you. And as a church, we're not forgetting our history. We're going to cherish it and say thank you for it, but we're going to move forward because today is the dawning of a new season. See, look at Paul. Paul knew he was not perfect. Christians, we know that we're not perfect. We know that the world accuses us of that. You guys just think you're perfect. No, we don't think we're perfect. In fact, we know we're not perfect. We know that we need a Savior. We know that we're so sinful, we could never save ourselves. We very much know that we're not perfect, but we know the one who is. But if you're like me, you look back on your life and you hate some of the things you've done. You look back on your life and you have remorse over what you've done, the choices you've made, the words that you've said, the things that you've done. But thanks be to God that twice in the Bible, God reminds us that for those who place our trust in Jesus, it says that God remembers our sins no more. So when I'm like feeling bad about my past or things I've done, or if that memory comes up of things I just would rather forget and I start feeling sorry for myself, God is right there and he's like, what are you talking about? I have no recollection of that. Why you keep bringing it up? I don't know what you're talking about. See, because God looks at us and he says, you know what he says to us? He says, I have not made you a sinner to dwell on the past. I've made you a new creation that looks forward. As we long for the return of Christ and the culmination of all things, I know it's hard to believe in a God who is that good. Paul murdered people. He killed people. And yet he could still say with confidence, I'm leaving my past behind and I'm going forward to where God has called me. I know it's hard to believe in a God who is that good, but he is. A God who loves us that much, but he does. A God who is so powerful that he would give us a clean start and a new day. This should energize us. It should fuel us with the faith that we need to press on, to press on forward, because God is calling us to. He's calling us to press on forward because the prize is waiting for us. We press on because the prize is waiting for us. Paul writes, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Obviously, today is a kind of a special day for me. I started a new job today. But this is also a special week for me. 23 years ago, this very week, I became a Christian. 23 years ago, this past week on November 17, 1997, I gave my life to Christ. And as I began to read the Bible for my own, it wasn't very long before I found this verse, Philippians 3:14. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And that when I read that, it was like that verse was already highlighted in my Bible even before I highlighted it. This verse has spoken to me and been an encouragement to me more than any other. If I had a favorite verse in the Bible, this would 100% definitely be it. I love this verse. I press on toward the goal. You know, we as a church, we've settled on and we use the English Standard Version. We think there's lots of great versions, but just as a church, that's the one that we use. But when I became a Christian, and for many, many years, I read the NIV 1984 edition. And I memorized it in that, which is I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. But however you translate it, the connotation is the same, that we press on towards the goal that God has for us in Christ. Listen, I love this verse because it calls me to press on. I'll be honest with you, like faith isn't a super easy thing for me either. I have questions. I have questions that I'm not sure will ever get answered on this side of eternity, and maybe even when I get to eternity. My faith is not in my own self, but it's in him though. And so I press on towards the goal for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So this kind of begs the question, well, what is the prize? Paul doesn't specifically detail it, but I think it's not hard to kind of guess. In one sense, you could say it's getting to meet Jesus face to face when we cross those gates into heaven. Maybe it's heaven itself, our home that we get to live in. Maybe it's a front row seat to the culmination of all things. Or maybe it's something as simple and profound and satisfying as hearing God say at the end of our days, well done, good and faithful servant. I don't care what praise I get on this side of eternity. If I get to hear that on the next side, it's all worth it. But I think even more than what is the prize is the why behind it. Why? Did you know that the greatest boxer of all time is from Grand Rapids, Michigan? Floyd Mayweather Jr. Actually, I don't know boxing all that well. I don't know if he is or not, but all I know is that this dude is from Grand Rapids, and he has fought 50 fights and has never lost. Hometown boy has never lost a fight. And one thing about boxing, if you ever watch a boxing match, you don't stop fighting until you're either knocked out or you win the prize. That's why many of them got the nickname prize fighters. And one of the things that I noticed about every boxing match that I've ever watched is the winner never loses focus. You never see the winner distracted while he's inside the ring. You never see him over in a corner checking his Facebook. You never see him just asking for a timeout so he can make sure he didn't miss a text. When that boxer is in a ring and he is so focused, he is focusing through his opponent to the prize that's waiting for him. And he's just fighting until he gets it. See, what every winner of every boxing match has is something that every single one of us who calls ourselves a Christian, what we need to have. And that is a life and death focus on the prize. But you want to know something beautiful about the prize? And this is what makes Christianity just so much better than every other religion. Is that this is not a prize that you can earn. This is a prize that Jesus has earned for us. This is not a prize that you earn, yet it is still a prize that you get to receive. Am I going to heaven? You better believe it. Not because of me, but because of Jesus. And I press on, and I will press on, because there's a prize waiting for me. And Jesus Christ himself is going to give it to me. So you better believe I'm going to pray and press on with whatever breath I have left, for however long I have left. I'm going to pray and press on. And so Peace Church, I pray that you do it with me. I pray that we stand side by side as we fight the good fight. And we press on towards that prize that's waiting for us, that Christ has already won for us. He's already bought for us. He's already paid for it with his life, with his blood. He's overcome every obstacle that we're going to face, even if we fall to it. I will pray and press on. And I pray that, church, that we do it together, because the mission continues. Because there's nothing better than Jesus. Because God calls us forward, because there's a prize waiting for us. Would you please stand? Peace Church, Jesus Christ has not yet come back. And so that means our mission continues. That means your mission continues. So let's pray. Father of glory and God of love, we thank you for this day. And I pray that by the power of your Spirit, you would fill us, that we may be equipped and ready with the knowledge, with the love, with the truth, with the patience, with the boldness, with the humility that the world needs as we give them the message of Jesus, as we share the love of God. Lord, as our mission continues, I pray that you would lead and guide us every step of the way. Father, I pray that you would work in us, that we would be more effective and fruitful in our calling. Father, that when we get stressed or sick or when things seem uncertain, I pray that you'd give us the strength to pray and to press on. And it's for your glory we pray these things. And everyone said, amen. Peace Church, before we talk about what our vision is, we need to talk about who our vision is. So would you sing with me my favorite hymn, Be Thou My Vision?